what I'm about to read was the introduction to my guys as a leader. And again, we have no rank; we're all just roster numbers. And so you're leading your peers, which is also very difficult. So this is an exchange with both the non-commissioned officer who was assessing me, and then there's a role player who comes in to really add a flavor to this that makes it just much more than just a physical gut check. There's an emotional piece to this, and so it begins. Roster number 186, Staff Sergeant Rose said, inquiring of the nine men eagerly watching him. I raised my hand. You're the leader candidate. Come over here and let's have a chat. I could feel my pulse in my neck. As officers are supposed to possess the planning and organization skills within most military units, they were chosen to go first to demonstrate to the enlisted guys who may have never led anybody. The officers were supposed to show how to execute the improvisational style of planning required for each leader during his turn during team week. Staff Sergeant Rose explained the scenario we were in. Two mannequins were injured guerrilla fighters requiring immediate evacuation. The only means of conveyance, a term that would come to strike fear in me, was what I saw in the pile of steel pipes and nylon. He handed me a map and showed me my location. You have 3 hours to get them here or they die, he said, pointing to a spot about 6 miles away. What happens if they die, I asked. You fail. What do you think happens, he snapped. Roger that. But that wasn't all. Now you're going to meet one of the guerrilla leaders. He wants to personally explain the importance of your mission. Do not look at him and do not allow him to come within 10 meters of you. Is that clear? Staff Sergeant Rose paused, searching my face. I returned a gaze that I hoped did not convey my sense of being a pig considering a wristwatch. Is that clear, candidate? He repeated. Yes, Sergeant, I replied, appending my response with the military courtesy by addressing him formally as if he outranked me, because right then he did. Good, here he comes. He stepped away from me like he had just noticed a bomb tied around my neck. American GI, said a voice in faux Eastern European accent. I looked at the ground, trying to see the feet of whoever was addressing me without getting closer than 30 feet or 10 meters, as instructed. You are going to save my comrades, yes? The speaker was rapidly approaching me. I bent double and began backing up, but not fast enough. He was less than 10 feet away when I almost fell, trying to open the space between us. Where are you going? Why don't you speak? I continued backpedaling, looking only at the ground. We will do our best, I replied. I sounded hollow, a little boy telling his teacher the dog ate his homework. No, no, he yelled. You will save them. Tell me now, are you going to save them? My mind was racing, but on a treadmill. I couldn't think of anything to say. We will do everything in our power to save them, I replied, still backing up, anxiety turning to anger as the speaker was obviously trying to get close to me. If they die, we will know that you do not care for our cause, that America has sent us the weak and stupid, he said more to himself. He turned and walked away. Staff Sergeant Rose walked next to me and said, didn't I tell you to keep 10 meters away from him? Yes, Sergeant. He stared at me and wrote something down in a little green pad.